Wednesday. I'm Norman Gilliland, once again in our Buck studio with some musicians who will be performing during the hour, and they have come up from Chicago to perform for you. Their name, collectively, is Second City Music. That's M-U-S-I-C-K, and they include three viol players, Anna Steinhoff and Russell Wagner and Craig Trumpeter. Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay. And welcome to the midday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, the viol is an instrument that probably passed out of general use when? By a little after Bach's time, late 18th century?
Mid 18th century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet, sometime in the 20th century, it's come back with a vengeance.
Yes.
Now, how did you all discover the viol? And I suppose, no, these are all violas da gamba, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. The viol is just the English word for viola da gamba. Yeah.
What is that?
The viol is just how you say it in English, more or less.
Yeah, and it's called a gamba because literally you hold it between your gams.
Right. Exactly. Legs. Gamba means leg in Italian. And so even the smallest size, which is the treble, which is what I'm playing, is held vertically on your legs. And we hold the bow, all of us hold it underhand, so we have our fingers actually touching the bow hair. And yeah, it's a family of instruments. So,
and the one you have, the one you're playing there, Craig, is roughly the size of a violin?
More or less a violin, yeah. This is the treble viol, and it has six strings, as most gambas do, and they're tuned in fourths. So it sounds like this. The top string is a D. Then we go down to A, down a fourth, down to E. Then there's a third in the middle. So, and then another fourth down to G, and a low D. Another fourth.
And the bass is tuned the same as the treble, going from this high D to this low D with an extra low A string for good measure.
And then the tenor viol is in between the two.
And now I know that, Anna, you play the cello.
Yes. I think we all came to viol as cellists.
Did you? As
originally.
Cellists. Okay.
Yes.
Even something as small as that treble one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What kind of transition was that? Craig, attracted you to this instrument?
You know, I started playing in college, and I just fell in love with it right away. I think everybody kind of has that experience. You pick it up, and it's such a pleasure to play, just physically, and the sound. I was just smitten instantly. And I can't remember. I think I started to play bass and treble at the same time, more or less. I didn't pick up the tenor until a few years later.
So is it right to assume that each of you has multiple versions of this instrument? You have a little viol collections?
Yes. I'm starting with just the bass. It's hard to acquire so many instruments, but I think that's the goal for all of us, is to ultimately have a complete set.
It becomes an addiction.
It does.
Well, I'm gathering that there's not a lot of music written after 1780 or 90 that would include the viol, but is there some that's kind of retro and includes it?
There's a lot of modern music.
Is there?
Actually, a lot of it. Uh-huh. There's the Viola da Gamba Society of America sponsors a competition for composers to create brand new works, and it's very popular. I don't really have numbers at my fingertips, but there's quite a bit of music, and good music.
Would that include in an orchestral context, or does this tend to be small groups?
It doesn't really work so well in an orchestra. You'll hear a gamba in the two big passions of J.S. Bach, the St. John and the St. Matthew. There are these big solos for viola da gamba, but basically the whole orchestra has to stop playing.
because for you to be heard.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really meant for small rooms, and it works really well when there's a group of viols playing together.
A consort, is it always called a consort?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's catchy. That's a very classy sound to it. Well, let's get to some things. Now, when we talk about the repertory for the instrument, then, I mean, I've mentioned the kind of the later end of it, but the earlier end, is that sort of hard to determine exactly where these things actually came from?
Yeah, I mean, we think they developed toward the end of the 15th century, and which is the music that we're going to start off with on this concert today, comes from the 15th century. There's a set of pieces from a work, a collection called the Odeciton, that was compiled by a man named Petrucci in 1501, and it's a really significant collection of music because it's the first printed music for ensembles, printed with movable type. And so we don't know for sure that this music would have been played on viols, but it works really well on them. It might have been vocal music originally, a lot of it was, but it works so well for this ensemble.
Now, I have to ask you before we get into some of these pieces, because I'm just that curious about your instruments. Are these all modern instruments?
Yes.
Yes, these are all modern.
And yet they have this wonderfully aged look to them, especially your cello, Anna.
Thank you.
Or your, as
my
I
big
say,
gamba.
Your,
yes.
Your bass gamba, right.
Yes.
And gut strings?
Gut strings. Mm-hmm. Russell's even playing on complete gut low strings, which maybe he can demonstrate the, or Craig also can demonstrate the really earthy tone of these strings. Yeah.
You like that sound.
Yes.
All right, so you're going to be playing a set of two short pieces here by
right.
early composers.
Mm-hmm. The first is by Jakob Olbrecht, and it's called Tandernacken, which is a really popular song that lots of composers wrote, contrapuntal pieces.
Do we know what that means? That's a title you do see.
It's on Andernach, basically, and it's a song about a young woman whose mother is trying to get rid of her boyfriend.
Some enduring themes remain. And then the second...
The second one is by Alexander Agricola, and it's called Sidero, and it's based on Psalm 131. So we'll play those two, and then we have a couple more from that same Odeciton publication.
We'll hear more about those in a minute. Okay. Thank you. Instruments that put out a pretty good volume of sound.
They do.
Three viols, or three violas da gamba, played by my guests today. They are Second City Music. And you also perform sometimes with like a soprano and some other performers.
Yes. We have a program with Erica Schuler,
yes. A soprano. And sometimes we're joined by other viol players as well.
And you're playing a couple of concerts upcoming, I believe?
Second City Music doesn't have any concerts until the spring, but my other ensemble, Wayward Sisters, has a couple of concerts in Chicago in October, one in Lake Forest on October 18th, and one in Chicago proper on October 19th. And we also have some concerts with Haymarket Opera, which Craig can tell you about.
Yeah. We actually, the Second City Music was revived for the occasion of one of the first operas that the Haymarket Opera Company produced in Chicago in 2012. We did a piece by Marc-Antoine Charpentier that requires three bass viols, and so we kind of put ourselves together for that, and it's been a great run since then. Haymarket Opera Company has its season opener at the end of October. We're doing a rarely, if ever, heard opera by Alessandro Scarlatti called Gli Equivoci nel Sembiante, which means equivocal appearances. And we perform at Main Stage in Chicago, and the dates are October 24th and 25th.
Think about that. In the meantime, let's see, we have two from Josquin des Prez, who's one of the most prominent of early composers, and this would put us where chronologically?
Oh, still in the 15th century. He was maybe the most important figure of the Franco-Flemish school, and we're doing two pieces. The first is La Pluie des Pluies, and the second is called O Venus Bont.
Thank you. and Sweet, two by Josquin des Prez. And that was La Plus de la Plus, the More Than More, I suppose, and Oh Venus Bump. Back with Second City Music. They're up from Chicago to perform during the midday today. And all of them, of course, have other ensembles with which they perform both early and modern music at hand. And getting us to 1230 or so, these are three fantasies, and now we're in the Elizabethan era with William Byrd. Thank you. time of Queen Elizabeth I, Three Fantasies or Fantasias by William Byrd, as played by my guest during the midday today, Second City Music. And now, back to our guests, Second City Music. We have a little piece to get things started here. It's by a composer whose last name I always found really catchy somehow, Thomas Lupo.
Which means wolf in Italian.
Thomas Wolf.
Yes.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, it's this beautiful little gem of chromaticism that we're about to do. It sounds almost modern sometimes. We sometimes compare it to the sounds that you hear when you hear a late Beethoven quartet. It's very short, but it's really quite beautiful and adventurous. And Lupo was one of the main composers during the Elizabethan and Jacobean eras of for viola da gamba ensemble.
Here we go. B flat by Thomas Lupo. And now I think the whole program seems to be chronological because we go up to circa 1690 with Henry Purcell. And,
right.
Three Fantasies from him.
Yeah, Purcell's a pretty well-known composer even to modern-day audiences. So these three fantasies that we're going to compose we're going to play them. We didn't compose them. were written by the extremely young Purcell. He died even young, but these were in the earlier part of his career, and he wrote them in a fairly short time, and they're masterpieces. So each one is very complicated rhythmically and melodically, and they're quite difficult, but I think they're pleasing to an audience.
Thank you. exciting finale there. Three Fantasies by Henry Purcell. And now, back with Second City Music, and at hand, we have this from Heinrich Isaac, and it has a lovely title.
Der Hund, which means the hound.
The hound, yes.
Thank you.
by Heinrich Isaac, obviously a dog lover. And that's going to land us now finally squarely in the 18th century for a fairly large collection that Johann Sebastian Bach wrote for keyboard.
No one knows for sure, but probably for keyboard. It works very well on viols, however.
The Art of the Fugue. So long since this has been taken over by you viol players. And this is a contrapuntus number 13 from that collection of The Art of the Fugue by Bach.
Thank you.
Contrapuntus 13 from the Art of the Fugue by Johann Sebastian Bach, as played by Second City Music, my guest during the midday today. And I guess Bach must be the ultimate in writing for counterpoint. That's what it's all about.
Definitely.
In this collection, right?
Correct, yeah.
We're actually thinking about making our first CD of music of Bach, so that's hopefully on the agenda this year.
And what sort of things would you include in that, Anna?
Probably things like what you just heard. Also, maybe an arrangement of the Viola da Gamba Sonata in G major is one of our goals, but we have lots of ideas for this.
Well, if you're talking about Bach, you have a few things to choose from.
Yes, exactly.
And now you all play also with, I know, Anna, you played last weekend with the Madison Symphony, and
yes,
you played with the Madison Bach musicians,
mm-hmm,
and does everybody pretty much have orchestral performances out there, too, in the works from time to time?
For me, it's just the opera. I'm the director of the opera, so I have to have a lot of work.
Oh, you're the director?
Yeah.
Wow. Great. Well, you do have a little responsibility to that, then.
Indeed.
But everybody else has these larger ensembles that they play with, then.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, thanks for stopping by and performing for the Midday Today, coming all the way from Chicago.
Thanks so much.
Great to have you, and look forward to hearing more about you and your performances.
Thank you.
Lovely stuff.